How can we distinguish between information that might be coming from our conscious physical selves and the information that would be coming from this inner being?
It really matters not from where the stimulation of thought comes, for you are receivers of thought from many different sources. What is important is what you do with it when you receive it. So what is of greatest value is that once you recognize you have received it, that you understand the appropriateness of it or the inappropriateness of it as it relates to you. And you do that by knowing or noting the way that you feel as you receive that stimulation of thought.
I can see that clearly if it's information I'm purely planning to use for my own personal experience, but if it was something I was wanting to pass on or to teach to others or to write books about, is there any way that I could know if the information coming through me is clear as opposed to it being colored by my own physical beliefs and the experiences that I've had and the intentions that I carry?
Use your guidance system to know. Your guidance system is only effective when you have set forth your intentions. If you know you want clarity, if you know you are wanting to interact with those evolved beings rather than frivolous beings, if you know the subject that is important to you, if you are not receiving any of those intentions, you will know it by the negative emotion that is within you. As you are asking a question, perhaps of your inner being, and waiting for an answer, sometimes it is difficult to know if you are receiving the answer from your inner being or if you are transmitting the answer to yourself from your own conscious mechanism. And here is a process that will assist you somewhat in knowing the difference. As a physical thinking mechanism, you offer your thoughts in more fractured sequence. Your thoughts will dart very quickly and then they will slow down a little bit. And then you will get another idea that you will proceed upon and then you will slow down a little bit. But the thoughts that come forth or are offered to you from the non-physical dimension are offered to you at a more systematic pace. There will be more of a rhythmic flow to that which you are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And in time, with practice, you will come to know the difference. When Esther speaks for Abraham, she senses a sort of energy flow that pulses through her as we are offering our words, and so she is knowing. But we will tell you something else. Even with all of the years that we have been speaking through her, all of the hours that we have conversed back and forth in dialogue as we are with you at this time, when Esther is talking to Abraham in her own mind, she has more trouble moving back and forth than when she is sitting here absolutely in the mode of Abraham. It would be advantage to any of you who are wanting to speak with the inner world to pose all of your questions, to write them all down, to shout them to the universe, and then to go into the mode of receiving where you can receive systematically for a period of time. For the switching back and forth to the physical perspective and the non-physical perspective is difficult even for the best. By the best we mean the most practiced.
What's happening when a person really wants to be a speaker, but they sit down and they're feeling nothing?
Feeling nothing or
no
receiving?
No sensation, and receiving nothing, of course.
The feeling of sensation is not necessary for the receiving. For the most part, when someone wants something and they're not receiving it, it is because they are more focused upon the lack of what they want than they are focused upon what they want. When you want something and aren't getting it, and give all of your attention to the fact that you're not getting it, by law of attraction, you get more of what you are not getting, which is more of the lack, more of the absence. And so we say, stop beating up on yourself, or stop worrying about what is not happening, and start thinking about what you are wanting to happen. Think about the benefit of the blending. Think about the value of the opening of your passageway. Think about what it is you're wanting to know. If you have something that is important for you to understand, that understanding will come to you in many different ways. It is your impatience that hinders you most upon that subject.
If a person's really trying, at what point would they know they're trying too hard?
The word trying itself is automatically putting you in a position of trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
For when you are trying, you have already acknowledged that there is some difficulty. When you are trying, you are giving more of your attention to the difficulty or to the challenge or to the problem instead of to what you are wanting. There is no need to try. Just do it.
Can a person utilize that 10 or 15 minutes each day while they're quieting their mind to also be creating other things and think about other things they're wanting?
You cannot. You cannot quiet your mind and think of other things at the same time. The 15 or 20 minutes in meditation, with the intent of opening the passageway, must accomplish a state of numbing or detachment. Otherwise, you are not in the state of allowing. If you think a thought, you will lose that sensation of numbness. Any stimulation of thought will bring you back to your physical focus.
Mm-hmm.
Your physical focus is very important in your deliberate conscious creating, however. You just don't consciously, deliberately create at the time when you're trying to allow the opening of your passageway.
Would the use of any, say, alcohol or some chemical or drug have any bearing on this blending process during that 10 or 15 minutes?
Many find that it is easier to distract from physical perspective if there is some sort of chemical or alcoholic substance experienced. And so to achieve that state of allowing, it is possible that it could be of benefit. The hindrance that comes is that once you've achieved that state of allowing, then if you are utilizing the substance, you are not in a position to be receptive of the thought that is offered to you. It is an individual preference.
I recall when we first began that when Esther started just spelling with her nose, and the typing was very primitive in the beginning, and now it really flourishes, the speaking was rather primitive. Does it always begin in a more or less basic state and then improve naturally with practice?
We are all growth-seeking beings, whether you are focused in physical or non-physical. It is an evolving process.
Mm-hmm.
There are many factors involved, having to do with the willingness of all who participate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Could you possibly give us a brief exercise here that could help us be more sensitive to our guidance from our inner being?
It is important. In order to experience the benefit of the guidance system, to accept these premises. First,
mm-hmm.
you are much more than you see in your physical body. There is another part of you that exists even while you are now here in this physical body. And that part of you wants to communicate with you. The very emotion that you feel is communication from that inner you, and you may trust it above all other communication that you receive from any other source. For your inner being, and only your inner being, is aware of the total you. Your inner being, and only your inner being, is aware of the beliefs that you now hold. Your inner being, and only your inner being, is aware of the intentions that you now hold. And only this magnificent, sophisticated inner being that is yours has the ability to merge together all of those factors and to deliver to you in any moment the perfect guidance to assist you in understanding the appropriateness of your thought or word or action in any moment. In short, there is nothing else anywhere. There is not a set of rules. There are not a stack of books. There are not hidden documents. There is nothing outside of you that can come anywhere close to the guidance that comes forth from within you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accept that, perhaps then you will want enough that you will attract the communication even in clearer fashion.
Great.
You may reach the place where you not only feel with emotion, but you know why you're feeling what you're feeling. But all of this comes through your continuing wanting and continuing allowing. And that is the evolvement that we spoke of earlier in this process.
I noticed that you seem to differentiate between emotions and feelings, whereas we often use the words interchangeably. How do you see the difference?
Actually, we are using the words interchangeably. We use the word feeling for emphasis at times because we are wanting to remind you that your emotions are a feeling process more than they are a thinking process.
Good.
It is a very good way for your inner being to communicate with you, for as you are thinking another thought, if your inner being transmits a thought, you may not receive it, for you cannot transmit and receive at the same time. But you can transmit a thought and receive a feeling at the same time, you see. And so it was a good agreement.